to do tonight. And I pray that Kala would also experience the joy of laboring in Wellington PM. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, thank you. All right. I'm not too much of a stranger here. I mean, I've been part of what used to be known as TMT since 2000. I was part of the first year group of TMT, and then I've been in Wellington for 17 years after that. So, and then since that time, I've been in and out teaching at TMT. So, actually, many of the guys, at least everybody that's been part of Leap / TMT, I mean, have heard me maybe for an half an hour or two before. Since it is such a student loaded congregation, I thought like I'll throw a few questions in beforehand. All right. And let's make it rhetoric at least. I know the eagerness to answer is here, so not that I get overwhelmed. So the first question that I want to ask is, it's a very well-known verse, and John 15 is, "Abide in me, and I abide in you." How do I improve my abiding? Or how am I abiding well? Or what is abiding? Right, I like it rhetoric. I know some is burning to answer. So I know the customers. I'm a little bit ADD, so I've actually, I need to keep this point. Remember that John 15, there's a goal here. That I had a bit of a, what's your name? Elise, you know, I'm going to get back to John 15, but I'm afraid that I will forget while I'm with you. You are blushing, but you don't have to, right? So, you know, there's different seasons that the Lord takes us through. You know, sometimes it will call us a narrow season. It feels like whatever you do, he's like, so it's like this type of season. Then there is what David will say. He put me in wide open spaces, right? He put me in wide open spaces where it's almost anything that I risk, kind of, he backs me. I feel he's put you in a wide open space, right? Do not think, the emphasis will not be how correct I can be, okay? Because I feel that can be sometimes a temptation for you, right? That's not the question. The word for you should be risking, not correct, okay? So risk it. Step out. Sometimes if it's just an inkling, is this the Lord or not? Risk it, and do not worry, am I right or wrong? You understand the boundaries. I know I shouldn't explain to you. I'm not saying go and sin now. That's obviously not what I'm saying. But I'm, you know, risk it. Okay. John 15. So here's what I would say. I would just say this. Here's what a popular explanation of John 15 is. In order to abide, I spend more time with God. Abiding means spending more time with God. That is not what John is meaning. All right? And that's classic. Abide, we need to abide. This means more quiet time. No, what John is saying is abiding means a life that not merely is known in my quiet time. It's every minute of the day I am in tune with the Lord. I am being led by the Spirit. I only do what He tells me to do. I learn that art to move with Him outside of my quiet time. It is not a case of I abide from 6 to 7 and then I go out and live my life and then I come back the morning and abiding. No. Christians, We abide not merely by having quiet times, but we abide by relying on Him in the church and outside of the church. Every moment of the day. Second question. I ask you, this is popular Christian thinking. So I don't know if it's right here, but maybe. So you have a challenging request, okay? And the problem with it is you don't have faith for it, okay? You go work in Taiwan next year, and you go, I don't have faith for it. Now, rhetoric, I know you all know the right answer, just hang on. Where on earth do I get the faith? Where do I get the faith? I send you off. I say, listen, do you want to go to Taiwan next year? You're like, I don't know. I said, listen, go find faith for it. All right. I'm going back. Where are you going to get that? Where are you going to get faith? Where do we get faith? It's a precious thing. I need to get faith. Just consider it for a while, you know. This is how I get 5 foot that one, all right? Food is horrible, but there must be something good about that one. Just let me think about it. Salary in teaching at that one is better than teaching in Wellington. I'm creating faith here, guys. Give me a chance here, all right? New experience, just something different. I can feel it's rising. I can feel it's rising. Just give, help me create faith here. What else, Taiwan? So many, right? Guys, whatever I was doing there was not getting faith. Okay? I can't send anybody off to go get faith. Faith comes from one place. And only one place, alone. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. If God didn't speak, there's no faith, and there will never be. Whatever comes out of that thing is psyched up, whatever, but that is convincing myself, positive thinking. It is not faith. Because faith comes from one place and one place alone, the word of God. I can't, God is there, and I'm going this way. I know I need five. Look, give me a chance here, right? I'll generate it. No. If there's not faith and God didn't speak, faith is not going to come. That thing that's going to come there is not faith. All right. You know what's the most precious thing on the earth? We say it regularly for us. The most precious thing on the earth is the will of God. Jesus said, me and my Father make our home with Him who knows my will. That in itself is an art, and do it. Where is Jesus' house? In those that do the will of the Father. Those who knows the will. What are you saying, God? Not what I want. What I desire. In Jesus' name. But what He says. I want His will more than anything on the earth. More than any freaking thing on the earth, I want His will. That's where His grace is. That's where He is. I want it. And there is, I'm telling you, if you're younger, there are some, I'm not going to be old man, but there is this, you're not convinced. There's so many other good things that's out there, and you're thinking, yeah, and if only God is there, maybe I'll just go there. Maybe He is there. You know, who knows, you know? But after a while, you realize, oh, there is nothing. I want nothing else. I just want His will. And I just want to live in that more than anything else. Because where His will is, that's where faith is. If it's not His will, that's not faith. It's something else. Now, I know you're eager, and I know you think you can do it, all those type of things. We'll speak about that maybe a little bit later. But that thing is not called faith. All right. So I have a couple of verses that I felt for you guys. So actually, I was quite encouraged in the prayer meeting. Who gave the Hebrews 6 verse 1 and Ezekiel 47 word? Elise, you're hearing God. You're so hearing God, eh? Taking us, Hebrews 6 verse 1. Let us not again lay the foundations and the six foundations of repentance of dead works, faith towards God. TMT guys, or the Leap guys can tell you the rest. But let us press on. Let us press on to maturity. Let us press on to maturity. You know, this is one of my my classic stories, or something that God has spoken to me once. There's a story in John, I think it's John 20. It's right at the end of the chapter where John explains going to the grave. It's a very interesting story. The girls, Mary and the ladies, are coming there and said, "Listen, Jesus is risen." So John writes it, and it's just interesting what he chooses to write, right? He says, Peter go first. And then he says, he refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loves, outruns Peter. Peter was first, but I was before him at the grave. And then he says, I stood at the grave, and then Peter got there. And as he stood at the grave, Peter went inside of the grave. Peter saw the cloth folded up. Now, when what is a woodworker? Not a woodworker, carpenter. When a carpenter will finish his work, he will take off his head cloth and fold it and put it down as a sign it is finished. Peter got into the grave. He saw the dukkie folded up, placed there. And the message was clear, it is finished. And Peter ran out, full of God and full of faith. And then John followed. And I was like, I was asking God about that. You know, it's like, why would that portion be in there of the race? It's clear, John, he was the younger man, he was quicker than Peter. And I felt the Lord spoke to me and he says, there is a certain blessing in being quick. But there's a greater blessing in going deep. There's a certain blessing in being quick. But there's a greater blessing in going deep. You know, the Hebrew book is actually so interesting. Man, anyway, the Hebrew book is actually so interesting. If you want to know more, I'm teaching on Tuesday at Leap on the book of Hebrews. But I'll just make this comment. So, in Hebrews 6, the writer has gone quite deep. He said a lot of things. For me, it's pretty impressive, right? It's like, wow. And then he says this with this frustration. I want to go deeper now. And as I'm going to go deeper, I'm going to miss some of you. Now, let me tell you, as a church leader, that's one of the frustrations that you have. I'm gonna go for the deep stuff now, but I know half of the people will not be able to follow me. What do I do? You camp to bring the last one in. Right? Just go there again. The Hebrew writer went, I'm going. Cheers. Some of you are going to be left behind. But I'm going deeper. And sometimes, even in the way that we can look at church, you know, how fast and how big, has a blessing. But I feel the greater blessing is depth. Is depth. Now, Ezekiel 47, as we prayed about it this today, says, Ezekiel 47, verse 1 says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the temple faced east, the water was flowing down from below the temple, end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. So, listen to this picture. Ezekiel is a prophet. He sees the temple, and he sees a river running out of the temple. Now, that reminds me of John 7. I think it's verse 39, when Jesus stood up. And he says, whoever believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow streams of living water. We as the temple of God, this is referring to the believer. This temple is you. This is a picture of the Christian. Out of you, out of your innermost being will flow streams of living water. And here's the journey, verse 2. Then he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gate that faced towards the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. So we should have drawn a picture there. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits, 1,000 measurements. So it's like 1,000 measurements. And then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. So it's like 1,000 measurements, and the water is here. It's a trickle. Then after 1,000 measurements, verse 4, it says, again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again he measured 1,000 and he led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass through. The water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. Now, it's going to continue there, and Ezekiel is going to jump out of the river, and guess what? Wherever the river runs was trees of fruitfulness. And this river will run into the sea. The sea is the picture of the world. And this river will go into the sea and then affect the whole sea and bring life to the sea in this picture. Right? Fruitfulness is a measure of how we are able to walk with the Lord in His will. That's where fruitfulness is. Now, I remember, you know, I spoke to the leaders beforehand. You know, I remember when I was like, it will be a regular. I mean, this is not too unknown. I think many of you have heard this portion of Scripture. You know, it's like, it's sometimes being pulled out before a worship time. And it says, like, listen, guys, this morning or this evening, we have a choice. How deep are we going to go into worship? Are you going to go ankle deep? Are you going to go knee deep? Are you going to go hip deep? No. We're going to jump in. We're going to dive in and be covered by the Spirit completely. All right? And so how was your worship? Ankle deep, knee deep, hip deep, you know? But actually, you know, the question that I had to ask me is like, there is definitely a journey, 1,000 measurements before you get to the knee. 1,000 measurements before you get, you know, it's like, and you know, prophetic language is very specific. So numbers have meaning. The number of 1,000, 1,000-year reign, the millennium, you know, the kingdom reign, 1,000. It's a well-known number throughout the Bible. The number 1,000 means something, and 1,000 means the ultimate completion. Now here's the thing. God will be busy with a certain season in your life. Unless you complete everything, you're not going deeper. You know, we want to pause some things. Like when I have work in a day, when I have work in a week, I always put admin last. And my hope is that I can get past all my responsibilities without doing the admin. All right? I find ways to try and delegate as much admin as I possibly can. In your walk with the Lord, there's that certain area. You know, that needs attendance, that needs to be completed. It's like, no, I'll go to the fun stuff over there. You're not going to go deeper. You're not going to go anywhere with the Lord. You've hit your ceiling. Ankle is your portion unless you're willing to complete everything that God has for you in the season. And please, please let Him be the judge when it's completed. I recently spoke to one of our girls. She So I shouldn't give too much detail. People don't figure out where it is. I spoke to a girl that had a problem. And this problem has actually humbled her. Has caused her to lean on the Lord a lot. And she says to me, I have learned now the lesson of humility. He can heal me now again. And I'm thinking, like, I wonder who's the judge on that one. Right? He's the judge. But you give yourself and not sidestepping and completing everything that Jesus has for you. All right? Otherwise, we're not going to go deeper. Okay? We can read more books. I just want to say to you, this is a common young people issue. They read more books and think they're going deeper. Don't be fooled by Calvinists, guys. Don't be fooled by them. They think their intellectual superiority by the newfound doctrines and words makes them deeper. It doesn't. It just makes them more prideful. It doesn't take them deeper. The thing that's going to make you deeper, the thing that's going to take you deeper is obedience. You can, I just see it like sidestep, not completing. That one thing is not completing. Oh, you read more books. Well done. It's not going to help. Oh, you got a new vocabulary now. You got new moves now. You pray in tongues now. Huh? You shout. No, it's not going to help. Obedience. All right. My next little verse is in 1 Thessalonians 4. I think there's something here for you guys in this one, all right? So it says that, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. I think the word over you guys is not that you guys are disobedient. Or maybe. I'm not blanking at it. I mean, some of you might be. You better repent, really. Right? I'm not saying that this is the skew or completely off. But what is Paul saying? He says, you guys are doing the instructions of the Lord, but he wants to go more. He wants to go deeper. It's not like you guys are not living it, but I'm pulling you deeper. Now, I'll give you even more to that. Verse 2. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Guys, this is easy. And for some it's so difficult. Abstain from sexual immorality. Right? And if there's any sexual immorality, in whatever form and whatever shape, get it out as quick as possible. Deal with that thing. But Paul doesn't leave us there. He says, I'm going to take you guys now even deeper. In verse 4 he says, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. Now, you know, I know I looked at the deacon group. It's like there's a whole lot of singles not really dating, right? And then they married. I don't know how much dating is going around here. But you know, we as a group we have dating or hunting, the hunting process. This is where we are now. Okay, girls. Let the deers be hunted and let the hunters hunt. All right? Not other way around, please. All right? But I know there's a certain line. I'm certain line of what is acceptable and not as acceptable. I don't know. It shifts. It's like a culture of what the lines is of control, holiness. Is kissing before marriage sin? How much can I hold hand? I mean, where can I even hold hand? Right? But Paul doesn't tell us. Can you quickly go again to that verse? Sorry, the last one that I was. It says that each one of you, and this is the best one even. He doesn't go with blanket. He goes like each one of you knows. Each one of you know what your line is. Each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. Now, whatever our line is of what is acceptable or not acceptable, at least as a group acceptance, you know, of the dating protocols, physical protocols, and all those type of things, that is not our line. As Paul says, that's not our line. Because for each one of you, the line will be different. Now, I tell you, you would be in a bracket that is acceptable for the group, but not acceptable for God. And you know what? You know it. And you know what? You can get away with it because it is acceptable in the group. I'm not saying the group is wrong. I'm saying the group is right. I'll give you guys an example. I've got many examples, but I struggled. I mean, I got saved, very immoral, got saved, brought some things with me as I got saved. So the last was a major issue for me, right? Now, again, like, where do we draw the line? Movies? I mean, okay, porn is wrong. All right, porn is wrong. I can't watch porn. But what's the line of porn even? I mean, I know this explicitly, that's easy. But then where is 16, all right, that's showing X, Y, Z? It's not classified as porn. I'm outside. I haven't watched porn, you know. All right, 16 maybe. It's a little bit frowned upon. 13? At least they just show Z. Not X, Y, Z. Right? Where is the line? So when I got saved, you know, like struggling with lust, I couldn't go through the huisgenoot. I opened the huisgenoot, my eyes are seeking. My eyes are seeking. Right? Now, nobody would have pointed a finger at me for watching huisgenoot. Nobody. I know God would. And I feel like, you know, when Jesus is saying, the line is, you have heard, guys, you have heard. I'm speaking this as Jesus. Wait. Imagine Jesus is speaking to us. You have heard. Do not commit adultery. But I tell you, even if you look at a woman, what is he doing? Lustfully. You're committing adultery. What is he doing? He's suddenly going much deeper than just the mere we are inside of the rules. So we are inside of what is acceptable. And I see beyond it in your heart. What is it in your heart? So for me, I couldn't watch women's tennis. I couldn't watch women's tennis. I was not looking at the ball. I was not following the score. That was acceptable. It was acceptable. YouTube. I mean, I'm just saying to you guys, you have acceptance, acceptable act outwardly. I have not committed adultery. Jesus is saying, even if you. I was like, he's taking us deeper and he's taking us to this place. Now, there's a portion, I haven't given this verse, you don't have to worry about it, but in 1 Samuel 15, 22, some of you might know the story where God spoke to Saul. God spoke to Saul. Where's the grace of God? Listen now, wherever his will is, there's the grace. You freaking stay on that. Now listen to all these good, and God says to Saul, listen, I think it's the Amalekites, go to war with them. This is what I want you to do. Now, I want you to kill everything. Now, I'll kill everything. I mean the woman as well. Yes? The kids, the animals, everything. Everything, Saul. By the way, Saul was killed by an Amalekite. He didn't complete his job and it bit him back. So, he's finished with the war, killed the guys, wiped them out. And he sees Samuel after the war, and Samuel goes, "How did it go, Saul?" "No, great, man. God was with us again. We did it." Samuel goes, "But Saul, what is it I'm hearing? I'm hearing cows. I'm hearing sheep." Saul's like, "Oh, no. We left the best so that we can keep it as a burnt offering to the Lord. We keep it as the best so that we can do a sacrifice to the Lord." How noble. Samuel says to him, "Oh, Saul, don't you know that obedience is better than sacrifice?" Boom, and God left him. Now, guys, I tell you, there's few things that we sidestep obedience as much as through sacrifice. I don't want you to spend time with that person. "Jesus, I'll pray for him." No, I don't want you to pray for him. I don't want you to spend time with him. I don't want you to go into that direction. "Jesus, I will pray every day." No, I don't want you to pray every day. I don't want you to go into that direction. Don't try and negotiate with me through sacrifices. He is not, I want to give you guys, you must hear me now. Jesus does not camp at sacrifices, no matter how big it is. I wake up at 3 and pray till 7. He's not there. Jesus is at obedience. Sacrifices is initiated by man. Obedience is initiated by God. They're good and they're noble. But God isn't there. Now, if you want to do extra curriculum stuff and sacrifice, that's fine, you know. I'm not stopping you. But never at the cost of obedience. Never as a negotiation tactic to not obey. If he said it, you do it. Boom. All right. So I've got actually a couple of points here, right? It doesn't happen regularly, but for you guys, I got some points. Five points seems very long. It's not going to be long. I think this was the guy's intro. Now he's going to start with the points. So, So the first thing of how we miss God and how we miss being in tune with God, there's many, but the ones that I'm going to mention, the first one is, good is not God. Good is not God. That one little extra O. God with an extra O is God. I'm just saying. Anyway, that was maybe not funny. Okay. Anyway, that extra O there, that extra O is not just this big a difference. That's as far as the East is in the West. That's as far as light from darkness. You know, we don't understand it still, but good and bad is in the same camp. They're friends. Good and bad is in the same camp. Good and God is in the opposite camps. So it's interesting when Satan tempted Eve, what was the comment about this fruit? "It is good." Now guys, you're going to make decisions in your life. Every day it's been presented to you. Every day. And that's the usage of what the Bible says. It's the tree that I plug into. It's the tree that I eat from. Is what do I ask myself? Is this good? That's not the question. Oh, is this good or bad? That's not the question. Where should I go teach? Gauteng or Cape Town? I'm teaching now. Where should I work? What should I do? Well, Cape Town is obviously good and Gauteng is bad. That's an easy one. But that's not the question. The question is it God? Is it God? And so watch out for that tree. Watch out for that deception. You will make the best and good decisions. I wanted to say goodest. And good decisions. And miss your inheritance and miss everything that God has for you. That's the one. Good versus God. All right. Second point. That went quickly. All right. Need versus God. And I have to speak to everybody in ministry, which is most of you here. In some ways, let me tell you, need is going to knock at your door. Need is going to knock at your door. People's needs. Family needs. Needs is going to always knock on your door. Jesus never moved with need. It was amazing. Jesus could say that, honestly, I only do what I see my Father is doing. Listen to this. Jesus has the power to heal. Jesus, Lazarus is sick. He's about to die. Nope. Jesus, he's going to die. I wonder if you can let Lazarus die. I wonder if you can let Lazarus die. Jesus. I can't just sit there while Lazarus die. Need is knocking. All these pastoral types, you know. Having ran around, manipulated by the needs of people, not doing the will of God. Oh, they're so good people. Coming short of the inheritance of God. He didn't move. He didn't move. Not to have some sort of stunt. Okay, Lazarus, 3-4 days dead. He just moved where God moved. He just moved where God moved. And I want to say, good-hearted people, you're not moved by good-heartedness. You're moved by God. And that's why need is going to be thrown at you. Need from, and I say it now, need from family. Need from family is going to be thrown at you. I'm not saying that we're ignorant and all those type of things, but let me tell you, there's a higher order that calls us. I only do what I see my Father is doing. And I've seen many people have ran after need, many, and have missed their inheritance of God. Good-hearted people, so good, not God. All right, it's getting quiet. Okay. Okay, so before Israel took on the promise of God, right? They sent the 12 spies. It's debatable. Did God send them? Did they send it? But it's good to see what my enemy looks like. So, you know, let me just see. All right, this enemy is big, my faith is little. My enemy is big, my faith is little. That means like your faith was always in your strength. So, they go and they look. Okay, enemy looks back, looks big, we look small. And they looked at themselves, they looked at the promise and they went like, well, this is not possible. Right? Now, I can't, well, it's the truth, by the way. It's not a lie, at least. But it's not the point, right? The point is God can. And so we can't be moved by, I can't. We can't sum up whether I'm going to do it on this basis, Christian. Without me, you can do nothing. That's, by the way, Jesus' definition of fruitfulness. If fruitfulness was in any way dependent on what you can do, bless you. If fruitfulness was dependent on what you just missed the toilet, right? If fruitfulness was dependent on what you can do, it's not fruitfulness. Jesus' very definition is, without me, you cannot bear fruit. Any work that you could have done without Jesus is not fruitfulness. Listen, I need to say that definition again. Any work that you could have done without Jesus is not fruitfulness. Fruitfulness, the fruit that you carry, is those works that cannot be explained by any other means than God did it. How fruitful are you? The point is not, I can't. And if you're going to move by I can't, you're not going to walk in the things of God. The point is, God can. But here's the problem. And some of the TMT Leap people have heard me say this. What if I look at the promise and I looked at myself and I go, I can do this. What if I can actually make the promise of God happen? Abram, at the age of 99, looked at his wife Sarah, 90, and went, this is not possible. So Sarah also looked at herself and went like, this is not possible. But then Abram looked at Hagar. Sarah's maidservant and went, this is possible. And he manufactured a way to make the promises of God happen. He produced a child in his own strength. And he produced a child called Ishmael. Ishmael is the father of Islam that is still this very day persecuting the promise of God. Now I tell you, we don't want to sit with Ishmaels. And so many Christians have given up on I can't and figured out a way to produce something that I could at least say I can. We are not led by I can. As much as we are not led by I can't, we are equally not led by I can. It's more deceptive. Stay away from I can. Stay away from I can. You will not find the promises of God there. God can. Where His will is, there's His grace, and there's His ability. His will is the most precious thing on the face of the earth. Point number four. We're moving quickly. Point number four. Where is the blessing of God? Where is the blessing of God? You know, when I look at Conrad's life, I see some blessing of God. I see some fruitfulness there. I see a lot of fruitfulness. I mean, I speak about that the whole. I've never seen a guy that can cover a whole church in one-on-ones. In the space of time that he can. All right? I've never seen a person that can be so intentional. I'm tired of the one. It just never stops. Luckily, I'm not married with him.
Yeah.
see what he's doing, and I see the blessing of the Lord on it. So what I have to do to get the blessing of the Lord on me as Conrad, I need to do what Conrad does. See, one of the tricks, you know, Jacob and Esau. You guys remember the two brothers? Who was supposed to get the blessing? Esau, the oldest. And so what did Jacob do in order to get the blessing from his father? He dressed him up as his brother. He manipulated himself to look like his brother because he thought the blessing is when I look like my brother. Not knowing that the blessing and the acceptance of you is in being you. And so much of us in the church have looked around and see, look at the blessing of that guy. If only I can be like that guy. And you try and manipulate yourself to look like somebody else. Not accepting yourself for who you are as God is accepting you as you are. And knowing that the blessing of the Father comes when you are you. But so we have been so messed up, we don't even know who we are anymore. We've been chameleons so badly and trying, okay, this one is like this, I'm like this, this one's like this, I'm trying to be, this one's like this, I'm just like, who am I? And for some of us, probably for most of us, it's this journey of discover who am I in the Lord. Finding my measure, finding my place, finding my grace, finding out who I am and living out that. Versus the deception of looking to the left and looking to the right and trying to be somebody else by manipulating me to be like that. The blessing is not in that. The Father's love is so amazing, you know. That is really a love of God issue that people have there. People are not satisfied with themselves. We're just not satisfied with ourselves. We're constantly trying to be like somebody else because we are just not enough. And we are not enough, not because we haven't achieved enough, because I tell you, you will achieve more and more and it will never be enough. But you're not enough because you have not looked in the eyes of the Father and found your worth there. You're enough. Because in Him you are enough, and He says it's enough. It settles it like nothing, nothing, nothing else. And those that have not received the love of God, and I really have the revelation, that perfect love that casts out all fear, the fear of rejection, those that have not discovered the love of God, I tell you, will not be able to walk in the will of God. I don't know if I haven't preached here for a long time, so I haven't told this story. But a couple of years ago, a girl comes to us, a student girl in Stellenbosch. That's a classic Stellenbosch prayer at certain times of the year. Please pray for my exams. Please pray for my exams. There's, I think, a demon that's preventing me from studying. You right? I don't know what this is. Demon, can we just drive the study demon away? The study prevention demon. Can we? All right. So like, all right, we'll do that. We'll do that prayer. As we're praying for this goal, the Lord whispers in my ear. He says to me, the reason why she's unable to study is because she is studying something that I have not ordained for her. She's, I don't know, third or fourth year. So I go, have you ever considered that you may be not studying the right thing? And she then manifests. You don't understand. My grandfather, my father, have paid for me to become everybody expects me to be that. I will. I'm like, all right. All right, all right, all right. You see, she is not fully accepted in God and feels she would be that job or that degree will give her a sense of worth. And she's not driven by God, but by rejection. She is choosing a life out of that wound and not out of a satisfied person of the love of God. The good story is she's not completed that course and studied something else and finally now find what God has ordained for her to do. And she is a happy, fulfilled lady. Praise God. Lucky story. Because many, many out there is not in the will of the Lord because of that thing. Last point. All right. Romans 10, verse 2 to 4. I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. This is a very, very interesting portion of Scripture. Paul speaks of the Jews and he says, I can testify that they have great zeal. Zeal is a very high commodity in the Christian world. Doesn't move God. Doesn't impress God. Ah, I know, that's sticking on a holy cow here right now. You know, it's like... Now, what subtly has happened, I'm not referring to a love of God, a love of God that flow over to zealousness. But subtly, it flips that we put the cloak of zealousness on. And thinking that it's more beautiful to God. You know what's the most zealous thing that you can do? Be obedient to God. What's the most radical thing that you can do? Plant a church in Bali? Or plant a church in, I don't know, Papua New Guinea? Look, there's certain grits of what is seen as more zealous than others. And we gravitate to getting that yoke on. And in our bravado, I'm telling you, at times we miss the Lord. Some of us are jumping out of the boat and Jesus did not say, come. Look at me, man. I'm never in the boat. But I'm always sinking. Young guys, I'm especially telling to you, some zeal is not spiritual, but is soulish. Some zeal is not birthed from the Lord, but is birthed from emotion. And it will not produce the fruit of the Lord. I've got a guy, I'll tell you this last story, I've got a guy in Stellenbosch, we all know him, he's a zealot. He's a zealot, I can honestly say it, he's a zealot. So he's a qualified industrial engineer. Well, he's got his does he have a PhD? Oh, he's master's, all right. What? You throw the story, okay? Let's for the story. He's got his PhD, all right. he's a qualified industrial engineer, is he? So I mean, the sky's the limit for this guy and what he can do, but he. He decided to live in Kaimandi, which is a township in our area. Now, I tell you now that if he would have given himself, he could soon find a job that he could live not anywhere in Stellenbosch, but in Stellenbosch, in anywhere in Wellington. So it was a joke. It was a joke. But again, you know, as I look at him, you know, I see at some stage living in Kaimandi has become an identity. And a prophet comes in that doesn't know him and said, God has called you to people that you don't feel comfortable with. And all of us go like, it's in Kaimandi. And he says, it's the rich. And I said to this guy, God, I think you need to move out there and you need to move in the rich area of Stellenbosch. He's like, no. I'm not like that. I'm like, living with the poor has become your identity. You've elevated living with the poor as more spiritual than living with the rich. That's not true. Living with the poor, while God has called you to live in the rich, is as bad as living with the rich when God has called you to live with the poor. It's not in some stage like some more achievement, right? And finally, it's like this battle, this bravado. It's his image. It became his thing when people know about. He's the guy from Kaimandi. He's the crazy guy. And all of that thing is going to be stripped of him staying like amongst the losers in rich Stellenbosch. And finally, you know, I saw him die. You can't believe what people find identity in. People find identity in their zeal. And God moved him to a company. And I mean, it's a long story short, but it's a fairly significant, medium size. Everyone is laughing at me because I have a way to tell a story like Donald Trump can't. But it is a medium-sized company. It's a proper company, right? He's at least one of the youngest employees at that company. The company is going for a tough time, and they had to make certain shifts. And overnight, they, like over a very short space of time, they had a call and they decided we need to get a new CEO ahead of this company. And the guy that everyone was backing, the father of this company, go like, I think this guy should do it. And the whole and everybody goes like, yeah. Nice. And overnight, he's become the CEO of this high-flying company, right? And suddenly he finds inroads to work for the Lord, like breaking things open. Look, he's still him. That's the funny thing. He could just as well go back to Kaimandi anytime. He's still him, and God is using him. But if he is go on a fleshly zeal of, I'm staying in Kaimandi, he would have missed the inheritance and the promise of God. Guys are running out. Am I doing something? This is... Okay. Sometimes happen. All right. So, guys, this is getting more. Okay, everybody that needs to practice your dance, just rip the plaster off and go out. You guys are... I'm loved by the Father, I know it. All right. Let's pray. I know it's a bit of a thing to say, but actually, or it's an easy thing to say at times, but I felt like there will be a wave of repentance amongst you guys. I feel like there will be a move of repentance amongst this guys, you guys. And some of the things, you know, that seems to be acceptable, God is just going, bah, no. And I want to ask that you guys won't let this thing just wash over and just sit where you are. But move into the deeper and the more of God. And even as I mentioned, you know, there's just so many things that seem, and see, a large part of what I've said now seems so innocent. Good versus God. I mean, good is much better than bad. No, it's not. It's from the pit of hell. Need, it's killing our inheritances. It's killing us from doing what God wants. I can, I can't, you know? And I want to ask that we will deal with these things as it is, comparison, you know, just manipulating us to be. All these things that we would really, really take serious and not deal with this thing as it seems innocent, because it's not. It's killing and it's stealing. So let's pray. Father, I pray for us, Jesus, you are all the time busy to taking us